Okay, well, let's get into this lesson. I tell you, last 2 weeks ago, I came in and got the quarterly, and I looked at it, and it said stewardship. And so I said, oh boy, not my favorite subject. And then I looked at the lesson, and I looked at the quarterly, and then I really said, oh boy, not my favorite lesson. So, I don't know about me. I'm going to stumble through this, but this is not my favorite topic, stewardship. So, let's look at some basic things on stewardship. First of all, anybody who's been on the church board of most any church, what is the number one thing that the conference is interested in from a church? Who would like to guess? Pardon? The tithe. That's how pastors or churches are ranked. It is not by membership or not by happiness. It's ranked by tithe. And of course, tithe is a very pivotal part of any religious organization. And so when you're on the church board and the tithe is not good, guess what the church board instructs the pastor to do?
Leave.
Pardon? To do what?
Leave.
Sometimes they try leaving, but that's in Leroy's day. But what do they instruct the pastor to do?
Have a sermon.
Sermon on what?
Stewardship.
Now, I won't mention anybody that said this, but once somebody in this class did say to me this morning, by the name of Leroy, but I won't mention his name, I think the conference must be hurting for money, because now they put stewardship in it for the entire quarter. I was coming back from El Paso this last week and visit my 94-year-old mother. He was doing very, very good. And flipping through the radio channels, and I came across a lady, and she was preaching. And what she said caught my attention, so I just stopped it right there. And she was talking about how Jesus came down to this earth, and one of his primary functions was to display the character of God. And I thought, wow, now this is kind of interesting. I wonder where this person's coming from. And so she went on about how the Old Testament shows who God is and how Jesus shows who God is. And we're supposed to show who God is. And I'm thinking, well, man, this is just right on. Then she said, and I quote, "Our duty as the Catholic Church is to bring in the Protestants into our church." And she says, now, when you hear the word Protestant, the main word is protest. And so when you protest, you're now rebellious. And so our function is, now remember, this is after saying Old Testament shows who God is, and Jesus shows who God is, and we should show who God is. Our duty as the Catholic Church is to bring the Protestants back home to the only true church. Well, to me, it ruined the entire message. Then I got thinking, are we like that sometimes? Do we have a good message and then we tie it all up in, well, you need to become a Seventh-day Adventist? Now, I want to look at stewardship today in what I hope is a very realistic way, because I don't struggle with stewardship. It's just not my favorite topic. But I think it must be important because God certainly has it in His plan. So, when you think of the word stewardship, what do you think? What comes to your mind?
Taking care of something.
Okay, taking care of something. What other things come to your mind?
Manager.
Managing?
Manager.
Manager. Okay, what else?
Money.
Money? Okay. Isn't that the one that we have most of the time? Is money.
Being nice to everybody.
Pardon?
Being nice to everybody.
Being nice to everybody. That's certainly important.
Okay. I think of caretaker.
Caretaker? Okay.
Someone else.
Okay. Is stewardship a requirement?
For what?
Yeah. Is stewardship a requirement?
Yeah.
Got a yep. I appreciate answers. Okay. Does God want us to be rich?
Oh, no.
He doesn't care.
Oh, he doesn't care?
No.
I have a laugh over here and it doesn't care. Does God want us to be rich?
Rich in what?
I don't know. I mean, our whole lesson is on materialism. I come from a profession of working for companies and been most all of my life on either in business for myself, and wasn't hard to count the money there for a while, but you know, in business for myself. Luckily, I've had more wins than I've had losses, or working basically on a straight commission. The last 10 years I worked on Hawk. I got a base plus commission. So, what do you think I strive to do at Hawk?
Sell.
To make the most money that I could make. So, does God want us to be rich, and is making money and acquiring things bad?
God wants the best for us, whatever the best for us is. Some people can handle riches and some people can't.
I remember when my daddy, I wanted to go to a basketball game, and my daddy said, no, I'm only interested in what's the best for you. And how do you think that went over? Not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying, how does that go over? Yes.
One of my favorite texts is Jeremiah 29:11. God says He wants us to prosper and to give us hope and a future. So prosper could mean money or not, but prosper could mean a lot of things.
Okay. Is it wrong to desire to make money? Is it wrong to have material things? Even when you don't really need them, is that wrong? One hand and then Charles.
I was reflecting this morning, Roger was talking, he was reading the paper, breakfast, we were talking about the Bass Brothers.
Yeah.
The billionaires of Fort Worth. And it occurred to me, as I was younger, one of the things that drove me a lot was to be an entrepreneur like yourself. So many, in the 80s, it was just a great thing to make as much money as you can. That was really my focus. And it occurred to me how God blessed me by not allowing that to really happen in my life.
Okay.
It was a blessing, and I didn't realize it until later in life.
So then I'm just thinking out loud without thinking. So God cursed the Bass Brothers. He blessed you.
Well,
he blessed you by keeping you non-rich, but he cursed the Bass Brothers.
He just knows that Rick Doss probably didn't need to have the kind of wealth that I was seeking at that time.
Okay. All right. Charles?
This weekend, there's a Mega Million and a Powerball. Both of them are over $500 million. Win both of them, you're a billionaire. I'm going to have a confession. Last night, as I was saying my prayers, I said, God, allow me to win one of these lotteries and give me the wisdom to do what you want me to do with the money. Because I think I'd really do a lot of people a lot of good if I had that kind of money. So I confess, last night I prayed to be filthy rich.
Yeah. Now, do we think that playing the lottery is correct? Some would say it's nothing wrong. Some would say it. So, I got a good question. Charles wins the lottery for $500 million. What's the tithe on $500
million? I do have a follow-up statement on that. A few years ago, I was on the church board, right before a church board. There was a big lottery like that. I did ask the pastor at the time here, if I win the $300 million this weekend, will you take tithe money and money for the church budget? He said, write the check.
Well, see, that was my question. Would we accept the tithe? Yes, that Walu, then you.
Well, a couple of... Oh, yeah,
go ahead.
That's okay. Back on the Bass Brothers. He was a big influence in our family because my brother-in-law was the chief mechanic for his jets. Got a new one all the time for many, many years. He just retired, but you know, that was a livelihood. What a very nice livelihood out of Beecham Field. And so I got to visit that hangar from time to time, and he even had a car that had once belonged to Hitler.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not, yeah. So there were treasures in that hangar.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Great career for my brother-in-law.
Rob?
Two things. Number one, I hope I'm a good friend to Charles.
Yeah.
Number two, if we look at the end game, this entire great controversy, what does God emphasize? Gold streets, mansion, crown. Look at all of the things that we look at as materialism, as we look at for wealth. So does that imply anything in what God wants?
Well, that's a good question. When we get to heaven, it's going to be gold and all of these things. Some of God's closest friends were filthy rich. Abraham. Look what Job had. The next one's kind of an interesting one because he rode the Rick Doss roller coaster. Solomon. Wisdom, wealth. But man, look at his life. Up and down and around and through and over. But yet he was very blessed. What is wrong with materialism? What is wrong with striving? In the game I came from, for the last 10 years of Hawk Security, the biggest measurement of success was, did you get the money that Hawk put out on the table for you to get? And if you didn't get it, what was wrong with you? Now, was that wrong to have the concept that I had is, if they're going to put it out there, I'm going to try to get it? Is that wrong?
The only wrongness would be is if you made it mean something about you and made it become your sense of security. I mean, God's not interested in how much money you have. God's interested in, do you trust Him?
Sue is.
Well, I'm sure Sue is, but you know, that's another case. The 36-year-old that just married this 72-year-old Bass Brother is interested. In fact, he's a billionaire. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But I think the reality is, it's what do we does that become what we trust?
Okay.
And so God's not interested in how wealthy we are, as if do we trust Him? Do we rely on Him?
Doesn't God always want us to do our best, no matter what we're doing?
That's what He says.
So, in your position and my position, to do our best, you'd make more money. So I think God wants you, whatever situation it is, to do your best.
Okay. Why did God ask or require, depending on which way you look at it, for us to pay tithe? First of all, is that a requirement?
It's an acknowledgement that He is in charge of this world.
Okay. Is it a requirement? I naturally rebel against requirements. It's just my nature.
There's no more requirement than the Ten Commandments are.
Okay, well, that's not real. That might make me real comfortable, because I would say a majority of the Arlington Seventh-day Adventist Church would say the Ten Commandments are a requirement. Maybe not this class.
Well, that's why I'm saying it here.
All right, I'll take that. Is it a requirement to pay tithe? How about the guy that says, I don't want to pay tithe, I don't like to pay tithe, but it says if I pay tithe, God's going to bless me and double it, so here's my friggin' tithe, and I'm putting it in the plate, and I'm paying.
Motive is the anything.
Pardon?
Motive of anything we do is the key.
Okay. Does Malachi say He'll bless you if you have the right motive? Did He say, does God say, bring all the tithe into my storehouse, parentheses, with the right motive? And I will bless you.
He says He loves a cheerful giver.
Okay. So what about the guy that pays the tithe and he doesn't really want to pay it, but he looks at that as his requirement? What does God do with that? By the way, if you win $500 million, it's easy to pay $50 million tithe. What kind of sacrifice is that? So what do you do with the guy that just pays it? Not happy about it, but I got to do it. Does God bless him?
Well, when you're a child, there's times when you don't want to go brush your teeth. Sometimes paying that tithe and not wanting to, but doing it because you were told to, hopefully you get to the point where you see the benefits of it, and it does make sense to be part of your life.
Does God bless you when you pay tithe strictly as a business deal? For instance, Charles comes to me and says, I'll give you $1,000 a month for the rest of your life. All you have to do is at the end of every month return $100 to me. Now, how long do you think I would have to think about that one? Or any of us? Okay. So, what if we enter into a business deal with God? Okay. I'm going to return you 10 back. But you told me you're going to do all these things for me, so I'm going to take you at your word. So here's your tithe. Let's see what you do for me. What does God do with that person?
Whatever is best for him.
Pardon?
Whatever is best for him.
Think he blesses him? Then why did God give this tithe thing, this stewardship thing to us anyway? To see how we perform? See if we'll follow him? Why did he do that?
So we think and recognize that our blessings come from him, and this is something, this is one of the things that we can show our appreciation.
When the children of Israel were getting ready to march into the promised land, God instated the tithing system and really brought it to their attention. Why did he do that? Did he do that to see who really liked him? Did he do that to, you know, it's just like Sue. I watch Sue at Christmas time. She writes out checks. You know, this is me and Sue different. It's probably the wrong attitude, but won't be the first time. Sue writes out checks to all the grandkids. And what do I do? Besides nothing, but what do I do? Well, I said besides nothing, I beat you to it. Guess what I do?
Grumble.
Pardon?
You add up your checks.
You had the checks up.
Okay. Well, I do that. I wait to see which one of them little pickaninnies say thank you. I don't hold it against them. I haven't killed any of them. I haven't cut any of them off. But I just notice which one of them say thank you. Now, does God do that? And by the way, they're what, about 50-50, Grandma? About 50-50. 50 say thank you. You know, some say it on Facebook. You know, one a text. The others just kind of ignore. Is that the way God does? Does God say, look, sent you a whole bunch of money, and all I did was ask you to give me back 10%, and you don't do that? And he says, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm just going to store it. And I'm going to remember. Is that what God does? So why did he give us this requirement or this privilege, I haven't decided which one yet, of paying tithe?
It's no different than having a system of taxation in the country. It was a, I see it as more simplistic, not as much of a, you know, testing of our character or our giving ability. It's sort of like, well, we need so much money for churches and for growth and for this and the work. And so, you know, let's set up the 10%. I think that's a good way to do it. Just like he set up 10 commandments, he said, you know, let's not kill each other. You know, let's not do this. And I think it's part of God's system.
Okay, so God's a good accountant. Okay. Why did he give the children of Israel the requirement or the privilege of paying tithe? Yes?
In my thinking, I broadened the scope of stewardship to include other aspects of our living. What God has given us, we want to take care of. And I'll use that example in our health, my personal health.
Okay.
Our personal health. We're given a temple or a body, however we want to describe it. And as hard as it might be for me to realize and to implement the concept of me going out, I know I need to go out and walk that 2 or 3 miles every day. I don't like it. I don't really want to do it, but my doctor tells me I'm going to find some benefit in that. Okay, so I'll give it a try. And I think there's a parallel there with what God is telling us. This idea of stewardship applies to a lot of things. He's given us opportunity or a blessing. We can take it or we cannot take it, but the bottom line is, I think God knows He wants us to enjoy every aspect of life, be all that we can be, and to feel that His love. And we, if we recognize some of that love coming to us as we give charity, and we give our resources, our time, and maybe money or whatever to others, He knows we're going to ultimately feel that benefit. We may not recognize it at first. It'd be like that unhappy tithe payer. He's doing it just because somebody else, a preacher, tells him he needs to. That's a different motive. But once you catch a glimpse of what's happening with some of that, those funds, you're actually helping some kid in school or whatever, something good, it's kind of an eye-opener. I think of stewardship in a much broader definition.
Yes. Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. I'm picking tithe because if we can get the principle of tithe down, we get the principle of stewardship down because it's all the same. Why did God give, require, or as a privilege have the children of Israel be aware of returning back a tenth of his of what He had given them? Why did He do that?
To remind them that He gives it all.
Okay. What were the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt?
Slaves.
Slaves. What did they have?
Nothing.
You know, one of the things I think is I went to church school down at Keene and Union, and well, not Union as much at Keene. Remember when you went to Keene, you had to work 20 hours a week? And you never saw your money because it went on your bill. And you wasn't mature enough, at least I wasn't mature enough, you know. And so to me that was a tremendous wrong in a way, because here I'm working, and whether I work 16 hours or 20 hours or 24 hours a week going to school, I still had no money. So I didn't see the value of work, except when I didn't work, my daddy certainly reminded me of it. But, you know, I got nothing. So here the children of Israel had nothing. They never made a decision in their life because every day they were told what to do. Now they go through the wilderness, fail miserably. Of all the adults that left, only two get in to the promised land 40 years later, but their children do. And now they go into the land of milk and honey and everything is provided for them. What would be the tendency?
God.
You're one day you have nothing, the next day you have everything. What would be the tendency?
To want to take everything for yourself.
That's right. Lucky me, look what I have. Look what I've accomplished. And God came along, not as a requirement. Not as a requirement. An absolute privilege. Because He took His children and said, look, a few years ago, you had nothing. Now you're going to have all of these things. And I want you to have all of these things. Because I'm giving you all of these things. But I know what the tendency is. The tendency is going to be, look what I have. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. And He said, I don't want that for you. I want the very best that you can have. But I love you so much that I want you to stop and simply return a tenth of everything that I've given you back to me. And when you do that, I'm going to continue to work with you. And you won't even miss that tenth. Because we're going to continue in our relationship to give you blessings. And I just want you to be able to handle it. That's the foundation of stewardship. There is nothing wrong with being rich. Some of God's greatest friends are rich. There's nothing wrong with having material things. The question is, what is the motivation? What are you going to do with them? And most of all, as Rick said, does it pull you away from God? If you can't handle it, it's a curse. I remember in my 20s when Ross worked with me and Mill worked with me and Randy worked with me and everything and thought we were, me and Miss, by the way, I talked to Jim Quinn last night and he called. And Quinn and I, we thought we were big businessmen. Right?
You did.
Did we work the role pretty good? I mean, you know, we're 26, 27 years old. And well, one year we made over $100,000 a piece. And, you know, I mean, we thought we were big businessmen. Lunch was steak and ale. And dinner was, you know, wherever. Big businessmen. Well, guess where God fit in? He didn't need him. Doing pretty good. And then one day you walk out your door and your brand new Thunderbird is gone. And your brand new Cadillac is gone. And your brand new van is gone. And you think, well, let's see. I think a thief could have stole one of them. And I think maybe he stole maybe two of them. And I don't think he got the van. It's not worth every month. And you have nothing. And guess what happens to you? What happens, Rick?
Dear God.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I started searching for God. You see, God would like to have had PQ be one of the most successful companies in the Metroplex. Because he could have used that to help the church, help people. But when it becomes a curse to you, he's not going to bless you. Because God's greatest desire is not for you to have money, to have things, to have cars, to have the nicest house. God's desire for you is for you to spend eternity with Him. And He will not put things in your life that will be an obstacle and keep you from that relationship with me. Now, some people take this to the extreme. They love to live in poverty. They love for other people to help them. That's not biblical. Nothing wrong with helping people that need help. The principle of tithe paying is very, very simple. God says, I don't want you to forget me. So simply return. And just like the grandchildren, do I treat them any different? No. I just pay attention. But the ones that do say, thank you, Grandma, that makes our relationship a little bit better, quite frankly. And God wants us to have a relationship with Him and put Him first. Stewardship is everything in our life. We like to pick tithe paying because it's the easiest. But it's everything. It's our time. God has given every one of us 24 hours. Question is, what do we do? Now, how far do you carry that to an extreme? Well, I battle with that. So let me ask you a question. How many of y'all been to a Ranger game in the last year? Raise your hand. How many of y'all been to a football game? Raise your hand. How many of y'all went in gathering door to door? Oh, we got rid of that one. Now, here's where I wonder how you... Now, I want you to imagine. Do you think if Jesus was alive today, would He go to a Ranger game?
Not last season. He likes winter.
You know, remember the kids used to wear a band? What will Jesus do? What do you think He would go to a Cowboy game? I don't know the answer to that, really. I kind of battle with that one every once in a while. You know, because I don't really think I can see Jesus going to a Cowboy game.
Because He would go to the Saints game.
You see? So... you can go crazy trying to figure out what to do and not what to do. You can go nuts on this stewardship of time. What you have to do is trust God, talk to God, and do what God as He directs your life. We can't sit and say, well, what would Jesus do? What we have to say is, what does Jesus want me to do? Because we have to have that balance. I think Hawk required the best of my abilities. They put the money on the table. I intended to get it. I owed it to my wife, myself, our family. But I think God intended for me to also have a perspective, a stewardship, and say, that's great, but give me some time. Give your family some time. Give your church some time. And so the principle of stewardship is to find that balance. Paul says in Romans 12, touched on this 2 weeks ago, but it happens to be the memory verse in the lesson this week, is don't be of the world. And sometimes richness makes us of the world. Bill Gates. Don't know if I'm a big Bill Gates fan or not. He started out in a garage. Came up with something that the entire world went after. But then when you see all the foundations and all the things he's done and all the things that he set for charity, certainly he's using part of that money for the good of our country and the good of people. There was a time when I think in the 50s and 60s among Adventists where we felt if you were rich, there was something wrong. Well, that's a travesty. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with accumulating things. I mean, where do you draw the line? 65-inch TV? 35-inch TV? No TV. Maybe for some people, no TV is the right answer. For me, it's a 65-inch TV. So stewardship, the principle God says, man, I want to bless you. But what is blessing? To some, it's health, especially when you don't have it. To others, it's money. To others, it's a nice home. To others, it's nice clothes. God is looking to bless all of us, but He'll never bless us in something that will become an obstacle in the relationship. Just as we knowingly would never do anything that would harm our children or our grandchildren. Sometimes we do it, but we don't do it knowingly. But we would never do anything we knew that would harm our children. So this quarter, not my favorite topic. It is important, but I hope this quarter that we can keep on lying, that it all revolves about what God wants for us, and that's for us to spend eternity with Him. He wants our life on earth to be a pleasant one. He wants our life lived in such a way that this is the beginning of heaven. Do you get that? This is the beginning of heaven. But the human tendency is always, look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. And that's what God is afraid of. Because that is the ultimate sin, is to not to look to God, but to look to ourselves. Father in heaven, as we go through this quarter, we hope to keep in mind how much You love us and how You like to give us gifts and how You like to give us things. But the most important thing that You have for us is that relationship. We think of Vicki today. We ask her, uphold her, bring her back in good health. Bring her back to Mill and the kids. And we thank You for Your love, Your compassion, Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.